Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket Ken, how the heck are you? Happy Friday morning. On this summer Friday, it's me, Mraz, it's Andrew Bogus, PDB, Patty Boyle. We're all having a good day. We're going to have a great weekend. And I hope you all are blessed with happiness and good fortune throughout the weekend. Good morning, Andrew Bogus.
Yeah, good morning. You know what? I go back to last Friday when you were screaming and you were more insane than normal. Where is this? What are we thankful for? Have a blessed weekend. What are you, the Pope all of a sudden?
God bless us all, everyone.
I mean, yesterday you closed the show by telling us how you lied about going to church to get out of work here on Sundays. It's now you open the show with blessings? What are we doing?
What do you mean? I want everybody to have a nice weekend.
I hope the Lord is with you this weekend, whatever endeavors.
I didn't mention the Lord.
Whoever you pray to at night, I hope he or she takes care of you this weekend.
Everybody should have a good week. Why can't we promote happy good fortune?
Hallelujah.
Why not?
No. Other people can. You doing it is peculiar.
It's not peculiar. I'm a man of the people. Hard hat guy.
There's a motive there.
There's no motive. There's not a singular motive. All right. Look, here's the facts, Jack. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. All right. Now, peek and bark down that we got the read done.
I did it twice.
I did it already? I
believe so.
Oh. All right. Well.
Hey, two rights make one right. How did that math go yesterday?
Two rights make a wrong.
Oh, okay.
Two rights make a Jake or a Matt.
Never going to live that one down. Never going to live that one down. Okay. Your Target demo meme has dropped. It is Bogues and I in the old school outfits at the Field of Dreams game. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go at Mraz CBS. You're going to go at Andrew Bogus. Let us know how you're listening, where you're listening. I'm sure Delbert's got some picks for you this weekend, what you got planned for the weekend. All right? I'm going to a concert tomorrow. Bogus, I think, is going to what, the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, leaving for vacation tomorrow morning.
All right. Got all those errands. So how'd you do with the podcast with Caserta? We get that all done?
It's all done. I got to just put it together and send the finished product to somebody, but it's all done.
Well, Pete's in charge of editing it again.
Well, so no, I'm going to give Pete the finished product. Just needs to load it for me. There's no, or whatever needs finishing touches he needs to do, but he's going to get, from my vantage point, a finished product.
Now, when I just said that, Bogus, because I am not next to you in the same studios today, did we get a look from Pete?
He did drop his head and rub his eyes.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly if that was
from you.
I was just tired, right.
Yesterday, he told me I was very annoying and I was annoying him, so I was trying not to do that today.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, but I'm better today. You know what I said? Now, I'm going to be better, not bitter.
Okay.
What do you think?
Great. Rex, do it.
Be better, not bitter.
Tell us again how you were right about Joey Zannaboni.
I was right about Zannaboni. By the way, last night, too. Let's just say this. We led the show with Giants and Patriots. I'm going to get into it because it's bothering me. Giants and Patriots last night, a game you could have caught on NFL Network nationally. Patriots decide to rest their offensive starters. They play some of their starters on defense. Giants win the game at the horn. But the broadcast I was watching had some down moments, let me tell you. There was a moment, I love him. Carl Banks last night is calling the Giants game on TV, the former Giant great. He's on part of Giants radio. And Brian Daboll's clearly letting the final seconds tick away to call a timeout to kick a field goal to win it. You know, he wants to promote winning games.
Yeah.
And Carl Banks goes, oh, he's letting the clock tick out there, Bob, so that's going to do it for this one. Giants lose the game. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Now, you know Bob and Carl really well. I've worked with both of them at multiple places. I feel like they need like a 1 year sabbatical from the Giants. They've been
and they're beaten down.
Yeah, they're beaten down. It's been a long stretch of really bad football. A lot of trips to watch the Giants get smoked. You know, hot days, cold days, and they both do. They live the Giants. They're doing shows for TV stations, radio stations during the week. It's not like they just drop it on a Sunday and they can go back to ignoring it. I mean, they've been in the muck for the last three, four, whatever, how many years. And they were salty in the first quarter last night about flags being thrown or not thrown in a preseason game.
It was rough. Yeah, and then Carl took some time to sell some jackets that he made, too. me and my dad watched the game going, woof. And we love Carl.
Although like, I do want, if I see him here, I'm going to get up the nerve to ask him for a red Giant starter jacket.
Oh, for sure. They're beautiful. But it was very funny. So last night, Bogish, I'll get to the Field of Dreams game. I don't know if you caught this. I had a tweet that really caught fire with the Giant fan base because I thought it was fascinating. Remember, all the actual reporters are inside Gillette Stadium reporting on the game, so they're not watching the TV broadcast, certainly not the Giants broadcast. But Joe Shane, the new general manager of the Giants, who I need to be employed past 2 years so I could stay employed, was listing players from the previous regime and saying, hey, there are some good core pieces here that we need to keep and build around. And he mentioned, of course, Andrew Thomas, who's a great left tackle. He mentioned Dexter Lawrence. He mentioned Leonard Williams. And then he mentions Saquon Barkley, which I found fascinating because his contract's up and there's a lot of Giant fans who either like him or don't want the Giants to give him a second contract. He, though, mentioned Saquon but did not mention Daniel Jones, which a lot of Giant fans feel those two are almost tied together. They're both free agents at the end of the year. In theory, busted picks. So I thought that was an interesting observation that he you would think would be calculated in what he said, did not mention the quarterback but mentioned the lightning rod running back. Tweet catches fire, people missing the point, saying, you know, Saquon's great, blah, blah, blah. You know, an hour later, there was a Giants reporter who I know was in Gillette that tweeted out, on the broadcast, Joe Shane, the same tweet essentially I had an hour after I tweeted it and an hour after it was said, with no credit, and I know he wasn't watching the broadcast. And I know he follows me on Twitter. Do you view that as thievery?
I mean, it would have been courteous for him or her to give you the little like hat tip addendum to a tweet if that's your tweet that alerted them.
But I'm also not reporting something. I'm just saying what anybody could have heard.
Right. So I think that's where we get into the gray area where somebody could have alerted him or her. Otherwise, it couldn't have come. It might not have come from you. So it's possible it came from you, which would have been nice then to get the little love in the pseudo retweet, but how do we prove it?
You can. And I'm not looking for I am looking for the love. Yeah. It felt to me as somebody who I know has interacted with me and I know has followed me and seeing it an hour later when I know he wasn't watching the broadcast, it felt a little like, oh, wow, this is really popping up because it keeps getting retweeted in my timeline. Let me just kind of go back, see what was said and tweet it on my own. But whatever.
You know what? Boyle, you want to do this one again? You want to say good job, Sean? I mean,
that's what I'm looking for.
I want to know who it was.
Then I'm giving him the Twitter attention.
Right.
His name's Ryan Dunleavy.
I knew it was him.
How'd you know it was him?
Well, I checked his Twitter, so I know for a fact it was him, but I also guessed it was him.
Why would you guess it was him? Does he have a history of doing this?
I don't know. I just saw the name, and I was like, that makes sense.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
You know, you see somebody's name or you see their picture on Twitter and you're like, eh.
Oh, he looks like a guy that would have
done this?
He looks
like a tweet stealer.
Interesting.
I follow him because I think he does a good job. I looked at it and I'm like, this is blatantly an hour after this has happened when you've seen my tweet catch fire. I don't know. I'm looking for attention and that's all there is to it.
That's right.
Well, now you chime in.
Yeah, great job. Move on.
All right. Field of Dreams game last night. The Cubs and the Reds, I had a five-leg parlay that missed because this game didn't go over 9 runs, would have taken care of my weekend. The Cubs win the game 4-2. Hey, who just rolled their eyes at that? The Cubs win the game 4-2.
All of us.
Versus the
Reds.
Not
about me, though. Here's how I lost in gambling last night.
And on a preseason and two bad baseball teams.
And I took a WNBA under in the Connecticut Sun lane 11.5. Those were the five legs of the parlay.
I mean, come on.
Do you want to know the parlay? I'll give it to you.
I mean, there's nothing to do with the WNBA and its place and whatever, but I know you know nothing about the Connecticut Sun. Like, just give me $5 every day, I'll give you $3 back, and we'll call
it even.
Okay?
I'm going to tell you the play. The play last night was Giants money line, Ravens money line, under 176.5 points in the Chicago Sky Las Vegas Aces game.
What are you doing?
Connecticut Sun Lane 11.5 at the Los Angeles Sparks, and over 9 runs in Cubs Reds. The Cubs Reds was the only one that didn't hit. It was a $10 bet that would have paid me about $300.
Do you know any player on any of the four WNBA teams that were involved in your bet last night?
I do not, but I did a little deep dive on why the under would hit and why the Sun will cover.
Okay.
They were fatteners, if you will, to the payout.
You're going to ruin your bankroll for the NFL season. You know that.
I was trying to enhance the bankroll.
Well, yeah. Well, look what happened.
All right. Calm down. Bottom line is this. The Field of Dreams game cost me. I thought we would get some two bad teams. I thought we'd get a lot of runs. And I was wrong. We get a 4-2 game. All right. The good on the Field of Dreams game. Bogues, did you catch any of the Field of Dreams game?
Of course.
Okay. The good. I will say this. I felt it after the All-Star game, although I was on the air the same time as the All-Star game, and I felt it since. Fox really, remarkably, in a way, has done well here with Joe Davis on baseball, with Joe Buck leaving from Atlanta Football. I think Joe Davis is a good baseball play-by-play announcer, and surprisingly, he already sounds like big game, and maybe I'm in the minority in thinking that, but I think Fox is in good shape, and I think they have a good, clean broadcast with this Field of Dreams game. Your thoughts?
Joe Davis is annoyingly good. Boyle would know
smooth.
His and he's, I don't even think he's 30 yet. Maybe he's just 30.
No, he's like 34 now.
I mean, he just, again, he's a baby to me. All these guys, him, Adam Amin, they're all way too good. It makes me so jealous. And yeah, I mean, Joe's great.
I missed, but apparently saw that they did a great tribute to Ray Liotta, which shame on me for not even bringing up yesterday or thinking of when I said, you know, we don't need Costner coming out of center again. So that's a good job that they did that. I think the pomp and circumstance, right or wrong?
Oh, that was a word check? No, those were correct. Pomp and circumstance, yeah.
The
good
pomp
job.
And circumstance surrounding the Field of Dreams.
I'm not going to ask you to spell them, but
remains really good, right? So when the scoreboard's getting changed, the old school mechanical scoreboard, and they have the overalls on, and it's supposed to be, you know, of course, like old school Iowa with the cornfields. I think that's so perfect. I love that, you know, the wood look up in the score box, seeing the cornfields through the glass obviously is great. And then when you get those high shots and the corn, everything just looks so cool on TV. And I know we debated the uniforms. Now, again, I think they were too similar in color. I would have preferred maybe like an off yellow for one of the teams. That was a little much with the, I mean, they're both white, right? I mean, the Cubs uniforms, I guess they tried to make that off white, but it didn't really look like it on TV. But that just looks so good. And the way they do that little old school green score box Fox had does, like, overall, I thought I wasn't going to like the game again, and I really did like the game again.
Of course you did, because it's perfect. It's the best of this genre. It's better than a Winter Classic. It's better than any NBA game in a weird location or a college basketball game on a aircraft carrier. Like, nobody else can duplicate taking their sport out of the current stadiums and putting it in a setting that connects to the history of the game, the pop culture of the game. Like, you know, you couldn't play an NBA game in Rucker Park. You can't play. I don't even know what the NFL version of this would have been. You're not throwing guys back into leather helmets.
Yeah. I mean, college basketball plays on the aircraft carriers and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a college basketball game in Hinkle is fun because it's Hoosiers and whatever, but it's not the same thing. Maybe there's something, you know, Canada playing outside in general. I get it. But this, to me, has surpassed all of them. This game is amazing. I love it.
It's
refreshing.
I'm
bummed that there's not one next summer.
I agree, and that's a big problem, that they're not going to have one next summer, and it kind of kills the momentum. Here's the only problem. So you mentioned the other games. I do have to admit, as I checked in on this game, having it up on the other TV, there was a little slight bit of luster gone. The fact that we're in mid-August, which means, in baseball terms, we've played so much of the season before you get to this game, and the Cubs and Reds are both just dog turds of teams. They are. And now you've caught that time where when you're watching Dodgers, Padres, and Mets, Braves, like, important games, if you're a baseball fan, are now here. And I know some people will check out now to football, but important games are here. And it does kind of sting a little bit, and it's hard to do, that you have not just one bad team, but two bad teams. And in an era with an expanded wild card and stuff, like, there wasn't an ounce of importance to this game. So I took it at face value, and I, you know, just the purity of baseball, it was great. But I do have to say, when they reconfigure this thing, Bogues, and I know there's a lot involved with a team willing to give up a home game and season tickets, so that makes it really difficult from a financial standpoint. But there has to be a way, almost like Hard Knocks with the NFL, where, you know, teams can submit that they would be a part of it, and then somehow through revenue sharing, they get, you know, some of their gate back. There's got to be a way behind the scenes business-wise to determine the two teams in this game or the series you want to pick. Because obviously the schedule's out, so you'd have to pick a series, a weekend series, and say, all right, we're going to put you on that Thursday or whatever. There has to be a way to do that, to have the game have some meaning going forward.
Well, I understand your point, but the teams are almost secondary. The point is the game. The point is the setting. And baseball's not like any other sport. Bad teams can play good team, could play good games, and good teams can play bad games. Like, there's no guarantee if that's Mets, Dodgers, or Yankees, whomever, or, you know, Astros and somebody, that you're going to get a good game, that the right pitching matchup's going to line up. So I understand the frustration, and I went back to just triple check, and, you know, when this game was announced after last year's game, like a week later, so near the, closer to the end of August, when the Cubs had already sold everybody off. So you knew the Cubs were going to be terrible. You knew the Reds were the Reds. I mean, even the announcement graphic had Patrick Wisdom in it. And with all due respect to Patrick Wisdom, he doesn't belong in a promotional graphic in one of your marquee events. But I think it's on, but two things. The point of this is to is the setting. So the teams itself, to me, are not that necessary. I don't need playoff implications. I just want to watch the beautiful field. And I think it's unfair to baseball, as ludicrous at times as it seems, that they announce, like, in a couple of days, they're going to give us next year's schedule. I get how that doesn't make sense, but baseball's also not football. So you can't compare this to that in terms of scheduling constructions and flex scheduling. It's just not that simple. So there's certainly a way to pick better, because they went historical. They went, I think, geography is involved in this too. But they could be a little smarter, but it's not the same thing as going, oh, just flex a great Broncos-Chiefs game there. You can't just do that.
So I do get that, but then how about this? And I am not, you're Mr. Weather. Can we play the game a little earlier in the year, maybe a late June, early July 4th, around the 4th of July, at least? Because here's the thing, I think playing this game post-trade deadline hurts too, because even if you know you've picked bad teams, picking bad teams that have both sold off their pieces already, that again further deteriorates. Because I'm sorry, even as a baseball fan, as much as I was watching this game, and by the way, would have been probably the only thing I watched if my own football team wasn't playing the preseason last night. I don't know, man. I watched it. I kept saying, like, ugh, all right. I mean, these teams stink. Like, they just stink. At least if I know that they haven't sold off pieces, maybe that's even a reason to watch. Your team's involved at the deadline. You want to get some Reds and Cubs players. I think the game needs to be moved earlier in the year.
Well, I think they just have to make a better choice. They have to make a smarter choice. And I don't, maybe they've discussed it, probably not. And if they did publicly, I've missed it. I don't know how they've, you know, last time was White Sox Cubs. I mean, White Sox Yankees. So you've got the Yankees, you've got New York, you've got Chicago. This time, you've got the Cubs in Chicago again. And, you know, the Reds are not good this year, but the Reds are a historical franchise. Like, they are important to the history of baseball. So that helps them get a nod. And again, Cincinnati, Ohio is close to Dyersville, Iowa, more so than Arizona, Florida, whatever. But as they move forward, and they've got the buffer year to figure this out, they do need to be a little bit smarter of teams who are a safer bet to be pertinent, especially because they signed up for this matchup knowing the Cubs in particular had started a rebuild. This was still Rizzo, Bryant, and other guys on the Cubs against a crappy Reds team. You could live with that because you're getting a couple of marquee names still on the Cubs side. But when they picked this, all those guys were gone last year. So they picked it knowing they were signing up for what could be an even crappier game, and that's what they got on paper. So, you know, next time, at least make sure, and I hate to keep going back, but, like, you know, make sure the Mets are in it, or the Dodgers, or the Astros, at least one team that you know, barring catastrophic injuries, is going to be a draw, and then throw a bone to somebody else.
Great point. I think that's a great way to look at it.
But the idea of, like, deciding in June who's going to play that game, that's just not feasible for baseball. So you know, like our email said, flex scheduling. That's just, that's never going to happen. So get that off the table. Just be smarter the year ahead.
It could happen because you'd have to select the series. It could happen. There's ways to do it, but it's a lot of loopholes to make it happen.
Right, and again, it involves, because they don't play today, they have to leave, they leave today for the makeup possibility, and then they change
locations.
But
you can make the whole, my point is you can make the whole weekend kind of that feel, right? Where almost every team is off that Thursday, so you know that that Thursday is possible for any team to be moved into, and then you give them the Friday day off and whatnot. And by the way, they have lucked out extremely well with weather in back-to-back years.
Right.
And maybe they were a victim of their own success, because forget the fact that the White Sox and Yankees are playoff teams this year. I mean, you got an epic, epic game back and forth. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, too, the Griffey's coming out, the father-son angle, Field of Dreams, very cool idea, too. Very cool idea.
Yeah, I love it. There are certainly things to nitpick, but to me, again, like this is... pun intended, this is a home run for baseball. Like, I'd rather have the conversation today about, like, why is there not a game next year, and why have they not said for sure there'll be one in 2024, than being bothered that Nick Lodolo started that game last night.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, just that warm weather where the vanilla trickles down the cone ever so, and those sprinkles get embedded as the moistness of the ice cream takes over, and the sprinkles start on the outside, but somehow they sink back inside, and you just wrap your tongue delicately around there. That feeling while you wear sunglasses is just like, oh, my time has come.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Tweets coming in at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish. Eric tweets in, I would guess they probably pick August for the Field of Dreams game because of the corn, Mraz. A month earlier and the corn won't look as good in the background. Is that right, folks? Are you a corn expert?
I am not. That sounds reasonable, but I've got no idea.
So you mean to tell me that the corn don't come in nice and good until August? So how am I getting corn in April?
Well, I mean, you can get a lot of things at a lot of times, but it's not always the best version of it. It's not always coming from where you think it's coming from. And there's definitely corn season. I don't think my supermarket has fresh corn on the cob all the time. You can always get frozen stuff, but it seems more prevalent now in the spring and summer.
Because we were eating it more now.
I got a real problem with that corn, by the way.
With what corn?
What do you mean?
The cornfields? It's a joke. Coming out of those cornfields is not cool at all. I've done it. I went to the Field of Dreams when I played in the Northwoods League in the summer college baseball, and we did a tour there the one day.
Okay.
And we walked through the cornfields. I came out. I had three ticks on me. Three. Not one. Not two. Three ticks. I walked about 10 feet into the cornfields, came out, three ticks.
Wow. Were they nervous?
Take a lap, kick rocks, and get lost. So the whole Ken Griffey thing, that's cool, and all the people coming out of there, I hope they check themselves after.
Ticks?
What?
Do you think Junior walked out with ticks?
Probably. He's probably going to have Lyme's disease now.
You don't think they sprayed something in there on those the corn in question?
Well, they probably did. It's a sham. I don't know. I don't enjoy it. I don't love it nearly as much as you do, Bogues.
Wow. Who knew that a tick take was coming this morning on the Field of Dreams game?
Tick, 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 tick.
And Tom Verducci looking like he's out of the 1860s.
Oh, I loved it. I'm jealous.
Really?
I want to go and dress like that for a day.
Oh, my God. Looks like a cowboy video game where you go to him and you have to, complete a mission.
No, Kevin Burkhardt had those, I don't even know what they're called, but the old school, almost.
Well, Burkhardt looks good.
With that thing on your sleeves to keep your shirt, your sleeves where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Burkhardt's a handsome guy, so he can make anything look good.
I guess, but I mean, still, I'm all there. If I was any of those guys, I'd be doing the same thing. Harold Reynolds, Greg Amsinger during the day on MLB Network, we're in the same kind of getup. Sign me up.
So, and we didn't get to this in the sound check. You love the Harry Carey hologram singing Take Me Out to the Ballgame?
There's the negative.
That was horrific.
There's the negative. I mean, we've got the audio. Should we play it?
It's a minute long.
Is it? I mean, it is.
Yeah, why not?
All right, so this is...
I actually didn't see this, I'm unaware of it.
They promote it. Well, try to find the video now while I'm setting it up so you can watch along because you have to see it. That's the point. They promo this throughout the game, special Take Me Out of the Ball Game coming up, and then this is what you got. Cubs-Reds, middle seven last night, Field of Dreams game.
All right! Let me hear you!
Sounds great. Crowd singing along. Now it's a Reds home game technically, and we're rooting for the Cubbies. Fine. But to watch the hologram of Harry Carey in a booth, a broadcast booth, behind home plate at this game, and even did a shot from inside the booth, so you're looking at the backside of Harry out on the field. No thank you. And this is a general point. This whole hologram thing, it freaks me out. We need to nip this in the bud now. This cannot become a thing. I don't want to see any more dead artists, music artists singing on a stage, and I don't want to see Harry Carey ever do this again. No thank you.
All right, so I'm watching the video. I am going to take the take that I think it's really cool.
No, it's freaky.
But hold on. It could be both. I do agree it is freaky. But I accept that it's so cool that we can have this technology. I still don't understand the technology. Like, I don't understand how holograms work. Like, it is so three-dimensional. That's not a man in a Harry Carey costume. That's Harry Carey through, I guess, light. Like, how is that possible?
Well, so, I mean, it's described as a hologram. It looked to me more like, a cousin of a video game. The people in video games, sports video games now, are the real people. I mean, it's ridiculous what they look like in some of these games now. Like, so that's more, this wasn't just like, and clearly that room was set up to host whatever technology was needed to present that. So whatever technically was, it still was freaking bizarre.
But when they show that front shot, I mean, you could see it, he's not just like a flat video of himself. Like, this is... Like, you're not mesmerized by that? That they're able to do that?
In an only negative way. I mean, great. I'm impressed that you can theoretically do it. I just don't... We don't have to do everything we're capable of doing. And
Bogus,
this is one of them.
Bogus, if you went early, I would love a hologram of you giving updates.
No. How do I put that in? I got to get a will. I got to put that in there. If I meet my untimely death, there is no holograms, no reproductions of me on this show at a Fordham soccer game. Nothing. You're not reproducing me post-death anyhow. Anyway.
Wow, you are a real hater at life after death.
This is weird. This is weird. Now, go back. You want to make... I'm sure there's been an epic Cubs-Reds game somewhere. You want to make some kind of splice together multiple Harry Carey performances into one performance. Harry's involved? Great. But the weird, video game hologram thing, it's just creepy.
Interesting. How do you feel about the Harry Carey hologram last night? Bogus just freaked out by it. 855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. All right, do we have Peter Schwartz with us?
Yeah.
Hello, Peter. Dad, did you like the Harry Carey hologram?
I thought it was brutal.
Thank you, Peter.
The guy they use in the hologram, it doesn't even look like him. It was terrible.
I thought it looked like him. What do you mean the guy they used? Isn't that supposed to be him? It's not a person.
I read something on Twitter before the game started that people who had seen the pre-produced video said the guy, it's cringeworthy, and the guy does not even look like him because you have to use the image of somebody to be able to make a hologram.
So aren't
they using
the image of Harry Carey?
But that's there's a guy. He's not there, but that's a guy who's supposed to look like Harry Carey.
Yeah, I thought that. I know this is like a chicken and the egg, but so you mean to tell me they dressed up another guy in a suit and threw glasses on him?
That's clearly what it was. That was not the real Harry Carey.
But if you're not going to
even close.
But hold on, here's where I'll push back.
And he didn't even sound like him. Like he didn't even sound like with all the exuberance that Harry Carey used to do the seventh inning stretch with. It was awful. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
So I'm not saying you're wrong. My point would be, if you're not going to use the real Harry Carey, then why not just have that guy show up and do it and be an Harry Carey impersonator.
Right. They made it look to be like it was Harry Carey, and it was not Harry Carey.
Because doesn't it defeat the point of the hologram?
I would have rather them just showed an old clip of Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
Well, Bogus, where do you stand on that? If it's just another guy who's not Harry Carey, shouldn't he just be there doing Harry Carey?
Yeah, I'm trying to find what Peter might be explaining here, and I keep coming up with the CGI version of Harry Carey. So it's just all computer generated. And they probably can load in video and pictures of Harry Carey, and some amazing computer can manipulate that into this new non-real thing. I haven't seen anything that says that there was some kind of person in a suit with those little like white ping pong balls all over their body.
It looked like a person. I mean,
that's the point.
I've watched it 10 times, and to me, it's just worse every time that I see it. It didn't even really look like his mannerisms on there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't judge like how well it moved like Harry Carey. The voice, like the mouth and the lyrics weren't linked up at times. He applauds at the end, and that looked awkward. Like it does seem to be a technological accomplishment. I just don't need it to be accomplished.
Yeah, Who's getting attacked by a dog? That's what I want to know.
The bit.
Oh, that's,
I didn't care for it.
Is that Pete?
Yeah.
Schwartz?
No, that's not me.
Your dog was barking.
He was not.
I don't have a dog.
Someone's dog was barking. We heard it.
There's not my dog.
I still hear a dog barking.
My dog's at Pop-Pop's house, buddy.
Someone's dog was just barking.
I think Pete is going. Bilotti's going.
I do not have a dog. I do not have a dog.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I think Bilotti is swinging and missing here. What do we got, Schwartz?
Well, last year the Field of Dreams game was an epic contest between the Yankees and White Sox. In this year's game, two lousy teams, not nearly as good of a game.
And the 3-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the ball game is over. The Cubs win the ball game.
Pat Hughes, Cubs Radio. Cubs beat the Reds 4-2 in Dyersville, Iowa. Drew Smyly, 5 scoreless innings, giving up 4 hits while striking out 9. Elsewhere in Detroit, the Guardians and Tigers tied at 3 in the 10th.
The pitch swung and lined into right center. It's a base hit. Gonzalez has done it again. Ramirez will score, and the Guardians are back on top 4-3.
That was Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio. I don't know if he has a dog, but the Guardians win their 5th in a row, beat the Tigers 4-3 in 10 innings. Among the other games, Red Sox over the Orioles 4-3. Diamondbacks with a 7-run 7th beat the Pirates 9-3. The Marlins over the Phillies 3-0. Kyle Schwarber left that game with a mild right calf strain. NFL preseason, make it 21 straight exhibition wins for the Ravens. They beat the Titans 23-10. Head coach John Harbaugh looked on as Tyler Huntley was 16 of 18 for 109 yards and a touchdown.
Tyler played great. His numbers were off the charts and really ran the offense well. His timing was really good in the passing game. I thought the O-line looked pretty good. Can't wait to see the tape. tomorrow and see how the guys
Meanwhile, in Foxborough, Graham Gano with a 24-yard field goal with no time left. Giants over the Patriots 23-21. Brian Daboll, a winner in his first game, sort of, as head coach of the Giants.
Big week for us this week coming up, but I liked how they competed. I liked how physical they played. Certainly, there's a lot of areas to clean up, and that's what we'll try to do after we watch
Daniel
the tape.
Jones, 6 of 10, 69 yards. Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady going to be away from the team for a period of time to deal with some personal issues. General manager Jason Licht.
All I'll say is this was pre-planned. We talked about this. It predates, you know, camp starting, that he was going to need, wanted to take this time off that Todd talked about, and we, you know, of course, we're going to let him do what he needs to do. So he's focused as ever. He'll come back in even more focused, and we're not, that's the least of our concerns. You know, we're not worried about it. It's not a real big deal to us, him missing five practices. So we're just business as usual.
And Brady expected to return after the August 20th game against the Titans. NBA, other than the players already wearing the number, there will not be another NBA player to ever wear number 6. The league announcing they are honoring the legacy of former Celtics great Bill Russell by making his number 6 the first number to ever be retired league-wide. And college basketball, Michigan State signs head coach Tom Izzo to a new 5-year deal. And now, it is time to get stunned.
Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Mraz, do you think you have a better sense of direction than an insect?
Yes, I would say so.
You do? Okay.
Well, I always know where I'm going.
Well, trillions of insects migrate across the globe each year, yet not much is known about their journeys, where they go, how they end up getting there. So for clues, scientists in Germany have taken to the skies, placing tiny trackers on the backs of giant moths and following them by plane. To the researchers' surprise, the moths seem to have a strong sense of where they were going. Even when the winds changed, the insects stayed on a straight course. This, according to what scientists report in an issue of the journal Science, their flight path suggests these death's head hawk moths have some complex navigation skills, challenging earlier ideas that insects are just wanderers. According to Miles Menz, who is a zoologist at the James Cook University in Australia, he says for many, many years it was thought that insect migration was mostly just dictated by winds and they were blowing around. It's been tough for scientists to get a close look at how insects travel, in part because of their small size. The kinds of radio tags used to follow birds can, too, be heavy for smaller flyers. I find it fascinating that they put trackers on a moth.
Yeah, how do you even do that? I mean, I'm assuming it's a little people. No, any kind of tracker of any kind of weight crush a moth? Think about how light they are. And by the way, does that story say where they go? They just know that they have a good direction.
In Germany. They were flying and they were being followed by an airplane. And not only that, but how does the airplane not like kill some of the moths that they're following?
Wait, it's got to be way high up. But my question is, can a moth get from Germany to say here? Like, where are they going? Are they going from just like a town over?
Well, see, that, now that's above my pay grade because the story doesn't go into that.
Yeah, but shouldn't it? I mean, if the whole story is about...
I just find it... But how do you put a tracker on a moth?
Exactly. It's got to be the littlest thing. Bogus, you have any thoughts on this at all?
I'm just enjoying the two of you trading brain
blows.
Barbs here. It's funny. We actually... You know, my kids love animals, my daughter in particular, and we were talking the other day about tracking sea turtles, and she was talking about how... like littler things like amphibians, insect can't be tracked because they're so small. And now here's Peter Schwartz telling me we can track moths. So I'm a little flabbergasted. I'm a little impressed.
A moth is such a nothing bug too, right? I mean, what is
it could
a
be
moth
a nuisance
do for you?
Though. It could be a nuisance.
No, of course. Yeah, they fly on your TV at night, right? They're a big problem. I'm a big killer
right.
of moths.
So I don't know why we need to follow them. Right? Isn't there a more interesting type of insect that
they're
these
like?
Could
they're
follow?
Like. Yeah, they're like a dirty version of a butterfly.
Well, maybe that's where you get your answer, Sean, as to why they migrate and where they go. They get away from you, and you're trying to swat them in front of your TV.
Which does the caterpillar have something to do with? Is it the butterfly or the moth?
Butterfly.
Butterfly shark.
That's an amazing thing. They have a cocoon, you guys know. They get in the cocoon.
Oh, do they?
And then they hatch. The butterfly flies in. It wraps itself up, and then it becomes a caterpillar.
I'm sorry, what?
The butterfly will fly to somewhere, right? And then it somehow has this like spider web-like thing they call a cocoon. It stays in there for a little bit, and it comes out. Obviously, it loses its wings, and it becomes a little caterpillar.
So this show is over. Peter, thanks so much for Stunned to a News. It has been replaced by Stunned to
That
News.
Is it a moth? Did I get it wrong?
Got it backwards, you idiot. It's a caterpillar into the cocoon, and soon you're going to learn the fancy word for that is chrysalis when your kids do it in school, and then it comes out a butterfly. It's the whole point. This ugly, long, gross, million-legged bug becomes a beautiful butterfly. It's the whole point of the thing, and you got it backwards.
Well, how does the caterpillar get all the way high up where it's hanging in a
cocoon? It can climb.
Okay, calm down. I got it wrong. A simple, hey, Mirage, you got this wrong. It's actually the other way would have done.
You got it wrong.
How do you get this wrong?
It's been a long time since I was in school.
Were you even in school to begin with?
Clearly.
Ever?
He needs to go to the Bronx Zoo.
And that's something you don't forget.
Clearly I knew a caterpillar and a butterfly had what to do with each other.
Yeah, well, you didn't know what when one becomes the other.
You are only person who's not four and learning this for the first time that's ever been confused by the direction of caterpillar butterfly.
I just remember looking up in the air and seeing cocoon. I'm like, that would make sense that the butterfly would fly in there and then it would hatch as a caterpillar.
Why would anything willingly ever do that? Why would it lose its wings and then have to be succumb to crawling and be a gross, disgusting thing? That's like if we just chopped off all our limbs and said, all right, we're good with this.
Caterpillars can be absolutely gorgeous with their colors and stuff. So that's totally unfair to caterpillars. All right, so I got it wrong, guys. My goodness. Jeez, what a tough crowd.
You stink.
You really do.
I guarantee there are listeners that have made the same mistake.
And guess what? You're all idiots. Stop using that line as a defense for being dumb sometimes. You just got caterpillar and butterfly backwards. If somebody else thinks that, you're all doomed. It doesn't make you right or acceptable or forgiven. Nothing. It doesn't.
I just love the natural order of how we get you and Schwartz talking about scientists in Germany tracking moths and then into you thinking that butterflies become caterpillars. That was just an incredible evolution of a story of events.
You're right. I had it wrong. I had it backwards. But for some reason, I pictured up in the air and a butterfly flying. Okay, I got it wrong. Jeez, guys. Again, positive vibes only. It's a nice Friday. It is the DA Show on a summer Friday. At Andrew Bokish, at Mraz CBS. The Target demo meme is up. Let us know how you're listening, where you're listening, what you got planned for the weekend. The NBA Bogues announced that Bill Russell's number 6 will be retired league-wide, but you are grandfathered in if you're still wearing the number 6, much like Major League Baseball did with Jackie Robinson. And obviously this is a long, long overdue, you know, something that the NBA should have done a long time ago, and honestly should have done while Bill Russell was still with us. I kind of hate that this has happened now after he's passed on. It's not just about Bill Russell's greatness and his championships. It's, you know, the civil rights and the first African-American head coach to obviously win an NBA championship as well. So just a really nice, touching tribute the NBA is doing. But Bogus, I will say yesterday, a lot of people going on, could you believe they did his number before Michael Jordan's? And then I saw Adam Kaufman going, football, Tom Brady would be the one they do it for. It's not just about being great. I mean, are we kidding me? Are you kidding me? Baseball doesn't have Babe Ruth number 3 retired everywhere. So, I mean, people are so lost. When they saw this news, they took it completely the other way and so lost as to why this is happening.
Of course they did. I mean, the only one that has, you know, it's Jackie Robinson, it's Bill Russell, and it's Gretzky. And Gretzky's is not for social reasons, but Wayne Gretzky changed the NHL, unlike anybody else changed their league, because there's not hockey in warm weather cities, or at least the amount of them, without Wayne Gretzky. So like that's where Wayne Gretzky ends up having 99 off the board across the NHL. But Jackie Robinson makes sense. I know people want Roberto Clemente's number 21 to have this same honor, and now we have Bill Russell, and it should be reserved for the top, top echelon of player and people. And you know, I understand saying Jordan. I don't understand saying Brady, as good as Brady is. But, you know, Jordan, then why not Magic? Why not Bird? Why not Kareem? So we don't need all of those numbers gone. I'm glad that this is a very, 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 very special honor. I would have liked it, like you said, to come sooner. But if anyone in NBA history deserves this, it's Bill Russell.
Absolutely. So a nice touching tribute. So, by the way, does LeBron still wear, I don't even remember this. Is LeBron wearing six with the Lakers?
He is. And I think there's 25 guys total that wore six at some point last season.
So, and the last one to wear 42 in baseball, I believe, was Mariano Rivera. So you'll still have some of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.